Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Party Friday. Julie Hayden and Chuck Bonnywell here. The Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Chuck is in hair and makeup, making his way down as soon as he gets here. We're hoping to have a best-selling author, news commentator, James Herson, coming up here at the top of the hour. And then at the bottom of the hour, the Colorado Republican Party Vice Chair, Hope Shepelman, wanted to talk to her about a bunch of things, including this report that was out in Rhino Watch today, raising some questions about Danielle Neuschwanger, who is another chair candidate or vice chair candidate, and some misinformation issues that she seems to have. But one of the things we wanted to talk about with Herson is this ongoing judge issue, right? So today, Donald Trump and the Department of Justice deported bad, illegal aliens, bad guys, worst of the worst, and they deported them to a jail in El Salvador. So the reason, keep in mind, that they went to a jail is that these are people who had committed crimes in our country and in their countries, right? These are convicted criminals, wanted criminals. The judge said that Trump couldn't do that. Trump was using the Alien Enemies, or that what's it called, the Enemies Alien Enemies Act, which allows him to deport people if they've been declared enemies, which these guys have been, as they are terrorists. He declared them terrorists, and the judge is annoyed because Donald Trump said, "Oh well, the plane's in international airspace; we can't turn around." So the judge has demanded all kinds of information from the Department of Justice, clearly trying to trap them in a perjury case or a contempt case, right? Doesn't want to deal with the question of could he really actually order what he did. And so he demanded that the DOJ give him all of this classified information. And I think it was great. So today, the DOJ lawyer, Chuck, basically said, that's a lot of top secret stuff. I can't just hand that over to you. Now, it's going to take us a while to get it, to get it put together. Okay, we may or may not get James. I'm not sure. But it's such an important topic. And Herson was writing that what he thinks we need to do is impeach the judges. And, feel free to go ahead and comment or unmute yourself if you guys want to weigh in on this, too, because it seems to me, I would say yes. Now, do I think they actually can impeach anybody? Who knows? But I say, let's adopt the Democrats' policy of inflicting pain and as much pain as possible. We can at least give it a good shot, right? I would love to see Boasberg dragged into a congressional hearing. I would love to see Boasberg have to fight being dragged into a congressional hearing. You know what I mean? He's a federal judge. I'm sure he was like way above answering, questions from pesky Congress people or senators. But I think it would maybe wake him up. You're going to slap him in the face and say, hey, if you're going to do this, these are the consequences. Because I think the Republicans for too long have let deep state operatives, bureaucrats, these judges just do whatever they wanted and said, well, we don't want to have a constitutional crisis. We must follow the law. And the judges keep pushing it. And I don't think Roberts is going to do anything. The Supreme Court, clearly, there's a lot going on here. And the Supreme Court has been silent, right?
Well, they had the one case in which it went against Trump. And they said, gee, no, he can give his, nationwide injunctions and everything else, and it's a 5-4 decision.
We do have James with us now. So James Herson, New York Times bestselling author and commentator, writing about, hey, let's go ahead and impeach these judges. James, thank you for your time. Appreciate it today. Welcome to the show.
All right. Great to be with you.
So we were talking about your comment about go ahead and impeach some of these out of control judges. What are your thoughts on the situation? And why do you think impeachment, which I agree with, by the way, is an answer?
Well, I got to say, from a practical standpoint, impeachment is difficult because you have to get, the 67 senators. You got a burden of proof for high crimes and misdemeanors, which I think will be met. I think in theory, this is an impeachment situation. However, it is so urgent now because we now have what, five, six, seven judges. We just had another one. We have one judge telling the president that he can't fire someone, and we have another judge telling the president he can't hire someone. And then this ridiculous Boasberg decision where he wanted to have aircraft be ordered to be turned around when it's pursuant to foreign policy, taking terrorists out of the country. It is the cumulative effect of all these national injunctions is undermining the welfare of this country. And so, with that in mind, I think all of the above approach is, and this is what the Trump administration is doing. We've got Josh Hawley in the Senate with a clarification statute. I love that he calls it that,
Yeah.
but it's basically to strip away, which doesn't exist. Strip away the right of local district court judges to have national implications with their cases. And then we also have appeals going up to the Supreme Court, and we have articles of impeachment have already been filed by Representative Gill from Texas. I think this is an all of the above situation because there it's so heinous in terms of disregard for the law, and there's too many of them. Another we're black. I mean, the president says we can't have transgenders in the military. A judge, Judge Reyes, says, "Oh no, you can't do that."
Right.
The president says we're going to shut down a money laundering operation, USAID, filled with criminality and abuse. Judge Chang says, no, you can't do that. And we go on and on. It's like, so it's an encroachment on the clear. These are all judicial malpractice, unconstitutional, and very clearly have nothing, zero to do with the law. This Judge Boasberg, everything he did was in violation of the law. What came before him was a statute that says if there's any invasion or predatory incursion of the United States of America, the president's empowered to act under this statute. And the Supreme Court said this statute has such a powerful effect on the presidency, there should be no judicial review. And this guy completely disregarded the merits of his case, and then he continues to act as an unelected president, trying to dictate the policies of the United States of America. And this is real fundamental to our republic, separation of powers. And that's what's being usurped, if you will. So that's why I wanted to see impeachment as the first order of business because it's the right thing to do. But all of the above is also the right thing to do. And that's so I actually, but like you, I heard you mention when I was on hold, Justice Roberts, who it has already telescoped and projected that, he's on the wrong side. And we've seen him inexplicably disregard the law. Now he has his sidekick, Amy Coney Barrett. So, none of us, I mean, people aren't optimistic, but we still have to go through the motion to go through the appellate decision. If we have any decent appellate judges at the Court of Appeals level, it'll never get to the Supreme Court because most of these, all of these basically will be reversed. And we've seen some of them get reversed even by by what would be considered, you know, liberal.
Yep.
appellate court judges.
Okay.
Well, my problem is twofold. One, the Trump did not, you know, did incredible planning with Doge, 2025, the 2025 project, and other things, of figuring ways to dismantle this massive corrupt bureaucracy. But what was coming, and everyone knew it, was massive challenges. And the challenges, they had already 19 different states sign on with big law firms, and they're all ready to go. And he seemed to have no strategy for that, none whatsoever. It's a practical matter. They're going to bring it in D.C. Circuit. District court judges are incredibly radicalized, almost all Democrats. The D.C. Court of Appeals is overwhelmingly Democrat, or bring in the First Circuit, where they're all Democratic judges. There are no Republicans. I think there's one vacancy on that one. So he knew this was coming, and he didn't do anything to prevent it. One of the things you could do is bring your own cases in the Fifth Circuit or the Sixth Circuit or other cases that will be contrary to the findings of the judges elsewhere. But he did none of that. As far as impeachment goes, it's unlikely there's enough votes in Congress, be universally against Democrats, and you'll find enough of three or four Republicans not to do it. But even if they get it, you know, they did impeach Mayorkas, but didn't matter because the Senate then under Democratic control said, okay, great, dismissed. And so it's unlikely one to get to the floor of the House. If it does, who knows what they'll do up in the Senate. Hopefully it would be good to have Boasberg on the stand in the Senate.
At least inflict pain is what I say.
That would be worth it if you could get that far. But as you pointed out correctly, they're not about to get 67 votes. And so those are my two big problems. And it seems to me the answer is you do have to have your Marbury versus Madison point where you kind of go, no.
You being Trump.
No, well, yeah, Trump saying no. You are not doing, you know, the courts do not have this power. The district courts don't have it, and the appellate courts don't have it, and even the Supreme Court using the district courts don't have it, and we will not obey it. And if you want to try to enforce it, we'll have you arrested and given a vacation to El Salvador. but he's gonna have to get that Marbury versus Madison point. Because there's none of the other ones are going to work.
Well, I hope you're wrong about that, because that I think there is a chance that one of the other ones will work. And as I mentioned, there are these appeals are all going to Court of Appeal, Federal Court of Appeals, and so that some of them have already worked, kind of shocked people even to the point where. New York, now this is a state court. We had the highest court in the state of New York shock the Democrat Party and say, no, you can't have non-citizen voting in this state.
Right.
It just happened. So, you know, we're going to pray. But here's why first of all, I think you're being a little too hard on the president for his plans, because the president entered enemy-occupied territory. He's only been in that enemy-occupied territory for 60 days, and he had to get his team together before he could implement anything.
But they did all this planning.
He's surrounded by enemies. Well, I think there's been quite a bit of planning. It's just
not on the legal side, not on bringing other cases in other jurisdictions, and it needed to be.
No, and I'm going to disagree with you, Chuck, because I also think, and James, I don't know what you think about this, but I think that there was planning, and I think what's happening too is, I don't know if Trump is being clever like a fox, but these judges are upholding all of these horrible things that no one likes, right? So the Democrat Party is like plummeting, the lowest record, you know, the highest disapproval
right.
rating ever, and I kind of think, I don't know if Trump is just letting these guys, these judges, I mean, I think there might have been planning, let them have enough rope to hang themselves, we'll fight when they can, but fine, you want a judge, you know, you really want to be there, a judge say, okay, bring these criminals back. You really want to be the judge that says, no, we need the fraud and abuse to go along. I think it just makes them, the judges and the Democrats, look worse and worse and worse. And that's good for the president.
Well, that's an interesting theory.
Well, it reminds me, what the point you're making reminds me of the lawfare that they right. used in the campaign, which Trump has, he's kind of taunted them with it. He said, how did that work out for you? So it is true. I mean, this is the only card the Democratic Party yeah. has, and that is to play with the, and Schumer's admitted it. He said just recently, he made a statement when he's going out promoting his book. He said, we appointed whatever it was, 235
progressive,
meaning Marxist judges who disregard the law, and look at how great we're doing with that. And so this is an urgent matter. The problem with the president just disregarding the judges and saying, look, we're just going to deem it unconstitutional. The problem with that is that sets up a campaign issue of impeachment. Democrats love to do impeachment. You know, the president's lawless. He's disregarding the judiciary. They're already doing that. And therefore, you know, you've got to vote for Democrats in 2026, which is what they're living for.
Right.
Their existence is based on taking back power in the next election cycle any way possible, including, of course, rigging the election. And so they want to slow down every policy, which is why you see DOGE being attacked. This is, by the way, what's part of this is the attack on Tesla and the attack
yes.
on individuals that own Teslas and the burning and it's like the summer of 2020. And so if you look at what Trump is facing with media attacks, with violence against Tesla to try to undermine DOGE, with the judicial attacks, and there's continued, you mentioned, attorney general attacks, civil lawsuits. It's the same old thing with Trump. I mean, look, Barack Obama's in there for 8 years and has a dozen injunctions against him. President Trump's had more than that in 60 days. When President Trump's first term, there were 64 of these injunctions. There's been more lawfare, national injunctions against President Trump than any president in history. And they're all initiated by Marxist groups. And so he has all the ammunition he needs to make his case to his constituents who are right there with him. But what he's trying to do is to stay within the system and preserve the House and Senate so that he can continue his agenda in the following 2 years. The aggressive appeals as fast as possible and getting him to these appellate levels. And also, he's kind of playing the Supreme Court a little bit in the public, letting the public know the urgency. And I think more and more Americans are realizing that this is a crisis now because these individual district local judges that never were supposed to have national jurisdiction. That wasn't the way the
right.
system was designed.
Right.
But it has to be reformed. And that's why I love Josh Hawley's bill. And if enough of the public get behind
right.
it, it's got a chance.
Well, you know,
why do you think it has a chance? let me talk. Why do you think it has a chance? I mean, he's going to have to get 60. He's going to have to get a filibuster proof bill. It will not be under reconciliation or anything else. No, the Democrats are not going to vote for it. They're just not.
Well, then that means if that's true, then the House and Senate Republicans should go home because nothing will get through.
Yeah.
Because the Democrats are obstructing everything. And everyone said, not that I'm a fan, continuing resolutions, but they said that wouldn't go through. And what happened? Schumer caved. Why did Schumer cave? Because two things. He was scared of the shutdown and the reverberation of the shutdown for him personally, but he also was getting a lot of pressure. And these politicians are soulless automatons, and and they do respond to pressure. I don't think the idea of Marbury versus Madison Point, just ignoring the court, that's a kind of last resort.
It's coming. I will predict it is coming, because the practical matter, I think we hope.
Well, it may be.
He was going to lose. He would lose some in appeals courts, but enough would get through to the Supreme Court, where he has a 63 majority, that they would reverse a lot of them. And now Roberts has shown, along with Amy Coney Barrett, wrongo. They may get a majority on some of them, but most of his agenda will be blocked by appellate courts, which are, because they're only bringing them in the First Circuit, the D.C. Circuit, the Third Circuit, all the ones where there are massive panels of Democrats. So some of them will be, even by the liberals, will be cut back. But he'll have very little of his agenda left if the Supreme Court will not rule in his
path.
And they're not doing it. They're not taking the appeals. They are slow walking everything.
Yeah, they are. But I think, though, there's a little bit of, I mean, it doesn't have to be all or nothing, right? I mean, James and Turk, I think that, for instance, if you're Trump, go ahead and ignore Boasberg and say, hey, look, the plane was in the air. You don't have the authority.
Barbie v. Madison.
Okay, but what I mean is that you don't have to do it across the board. You can have, and like you said, James, I like your all of the above. Drag the judges in, make them go through the impeachment, whether it works or not, at least it'll cause them a headache. And then some of the ones, you're like, okay, we'll go ahead and fight these. I mean, I think it doesn't have to be, even though Trump does sledge hammers very well, it doesn't have to be a total sledgehammer. You could be sort of particular in terms of, you know, ignoring some, going along with others. I mean, I just think, and which is what it appears that he's doing, because I think he's kind of playing the game with Boasberg. I mean, Boasberg is trying to get him to respond, and he keeps having to delay the hearing because they're like, well, you know, this is top secret stuff. You don't have clearance. We can't just hand that over to you right now, nor can we hand it over. So I think, I think a little bit of everything might be the answer, as you pointed out at the beginning here.
Well, and look, part of the reason that the Trump administration, Trump personally, was going at breakneck speed as soon as mm-hmm. he was sworn in is because he knew,
right.
he knew this. He knew that right. they would try to block him. And look at what he's accomplished in the 60 days. This the thing that DOGE did is it made the vast majority of Americans aware that, no, this wasn't just a few Pentagon expenditures where they paid too much for a toilet.
Right.
Right.
So what we have here is a massive criminal enterprise stealing money from the taxpayers. The vast majority of people know that. That's why the polls are showing, even though the mainstream media, this is that same dichotomy, the mainstream media is saying, look, this is proof that the president is lawless. We have all these judges who are coming up with injunctions to stop him. It shows how unconstitutional. He's authoritative. He's a dictator in waiting. But yet, his poll numbers are at record high numbers.
Right.
And the Democrats' poll numbers are at record low numbers. And so, you know, so it's interesting to me, you know, like the judge that says, you know, they want to shut down USAID. Well, there's a portion that, you know, he's preventing the shutdown. Now a judge today said that the President Trump cannot appoint the head of the USAID. He's got a DOGE guy that he's appointing. That's on its face, that is so freaking absurd.
Right.
It is so blatantly unconstitutional. There's no way that's going to survive. No one can even argue it.
Right.
So
I think you'll be surprised.
I think that the answer, if I'm Trump, you can
well,
kind of, as I
I'm
said.
Not. But
well, you could do a little bit of both. If you're Trump, you could. I was going to say you could say
but
like,
here's what's
okay,
happening.
I'm not. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say, Joe Sixpack, low information voter out there says, "What's USAID?"
Yeah.
I'm going to look into this.
Yeah.
And then if they're not just watching MSNBC and reading the Huffington Post, they're going to find out all of the money laundering and dark money and how the NGOs are being used and the money's getting funneled. And I see, I think this everything that we're seeing, the Tesla violence, the judicial activism, the over-the-top rhetoric is an attempted distraction from the absolutely most massive scandal in the history of the world that has been
I agree. I think people are shocked. I know that Elon Musk was shocked. I know, as cynical as I am, I was shocked. I mean, just $2 billion to Stacey Abrams and all this DEI money going out to weird countries. I mean, everybody was shocked by the extent of it, and they can't put that genie back in the bottle. They may try to stop
no,
Trump.
No, I don't think they can. And I think, I do think Julie's pointing out that it's a rope-a-dope. Trump is letting them hang themselves with their own rope. However, you're right, Chuck, it slows them down. It slows down the agenda, and time is a precious commodity, you know, for Trump. And he's got so many things going on any given day.
Yeah,
they just can't. They can't keep up with him. The reporters can't keep up with him.
No.
So, I think he'll find a way to keep his agenda going. I just think there are going to be portions of it that are going to be stalled out.
Yeah.
But the damage has been done as far as the Democrats, and look at them. They have no leader. They're in disarray. Their message is, please put those biological men back in sports. You know, it's not just that they're disconnected with the American voter. They have no connection. They're like from another dimension. And so they're, you know, it's, I don't know, understand. I really don't understand how, like, Elizabeth Warren has any followers at all.
Yeah.
I think what it is that, you know, there are people who feel that they're living from the corruption. And so they don't want the corruption to stop, you know.
Right.
They think that, and we keep hearing more and more stories about different institutions and people that are getting money from these. I mean, I it's like music to my ears, you know. Oh gosh, we really got Trump this time. And then the next day, we're taking down the Department of Education.
Yeah.
You know, and then Randy Weingarten is, her head's exploding on television.
It is Christmas already. Listen.
So that lawsuit, by the way, that lawsuit is inevitable.
Oh, yes. Yes, that is. Listen,
so
James,
how do you say that the powers given by Article 2 by the Constitution to the executive doesn't allow that executive to decide which branches continue?
Exactly. Hey, listen. Yeah, and we have to let you go now. We've got another. Thank you so much. You have been fascinating. I appreciate your time on this Friday afternoon.
And how can people follow your work?
At Newsmax.com and on Twitter, I'm at the Jim Jams. That's where I am.
All right, sir. Thank you for your time. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. I think, you know, there's so many comments, you guys, great comments here all along. One of the most funny things I think is they're burning the Teslas, but it's liberals who own the Teslas, right? It's for the most part.
They want to get the insurance money.
It's the ones. And then Trump today, one of the other things he did, like James was mentioning, you can't keep up. So somebody said, you know, the astronauts were stranded by NASA for 6 months, that then
Nine months, rather.
Elon Musk goes and rescues after Trump's been in office for 2 months. And you don't just put that together overnight, right? They weren't getting paid overtime. And Trump is like, what? And he's like, we're going to pay. He goes, if I have to pay them overtime out of my own pocket, I'll pay them overtime.
Everybody else in government was paid time and a half.
Nothing. These guys have been stranded
stuck in space for 9 months, and they want to pay him $5 a day.
Yeah. And Jacob, no tax on overtime. And I think I saw Hope Shuppelman in the waiting room. Hope, are you here?
There she is. Yay.
So we're going to go local. We have Colorado Republican Party Vice Chair Hope Shuppelman with you, and also current chair for seeking re-election, I guess, coming up next.
Yes, ma'am.
So thank you for your time, Hope. First, I wanted to start by asking you something. I know, obviously, you can't be there, neither could we, but I know that you guys have been involved, the Colorado Republican Party, because you got the emails, helping sort of do counter protest. Bernie Sanders, in case people miss it, and AOC are in town making an appearance in Greeley and then in Denver, where they're expecting billions of people to attend. But you guys have been rallying Republicans on this too, right?
Yes, we have. And I actually just checked in. The Greeley one went very well. And they are now heading to the Denver rally. So the Denver rally should be kicking off here shortly. And yes, there's
Where's
a lot
that
of...
Where in Denver?
That I don't know.
Civic Center Park.
There you go.
Is where he's going to be. And I would like to point out, and I'll ask you this. So we do know, because we see the advertisements, the Democrats pay the people to be there. Are Republicans paying people to be there? No.
We're grassroots. We definitely don't do that. No. It is because people want to be there to promote Trump and all the great things he's doing. So the rally should be kicking off here shortly, as I said, in Denver. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Well, I love the contrast. So, and it's all over in the press, but you know, so Steve Bannon's coming. The Democrats don't like that. So all these Antifa people are threatening the hotels, they're threatening the staff, they're threatening the families of people with just the worst type of things, such that two hotels have canceled after they probably given it.
Kyle Clark made it sound like the hotels were objecting to Bannon.
Yeah.
I mean, what a misrepresentation of the fact.
No, that is not true. Yeah, they all of the hotels knew exactly who was coming, who was the speaker, and this crazy radical left Antifa. They're trying to do everything they can do to cancel us, but they are not canceling Bannon. Bannon
That's
will
right.
be here.
Yeah. Exactly.
But the Republicans, nice Republicans, they're and they should. And they just stand out there and have some signs and are polite and kind of the difference between the two.
Yeah, not trying to kill anyone.
Yeah.
Not destroying cars, blowing things up. Which is why the Republican Party is gaining traction, I think, don't you hope?
Yes. I mean, it's just the whole compare and contrast of what happened when the whole George Floyd thing happened. You know, I was actually living in Rochester, Minnesota at the time when all of that craziness happened because I was training at the Mayo Clinic. And yeah, burning places down, all the things that we don't do as Republicans. We peacefully protest as things were shown at, you know, the J6ers and stuff like that. But no, they're okay with burning things down and everything. But yep, no, we don't do that.
You know, kudos to Pam Bondi and the DOJ mm-hmm. that caught three of the Tesla bombers. Two of them in Colorado.
Yep.
And because Garland would not have done that. There would have been nothing done at all. And so maybe when they're not hunting down Tesla ones, they can go get these guys who are threatening all the families. Of these
get the Antifa people. That's a good point.
Because, you know, Phil Weiser ain't going to do anything.
No.
Oh, no, he's not going to do a darn thing. We know this.
Let me ask you something. And I don't know. You may not want to comment on this, and if that's, I understand that's okay. But so today in Rhino Watch, there is a report about a person who was running against you, Danielle Neuschwanger. And one of the things the report points out is that Danielle has apparently some serious misinformation issues. She was kind of being snarky, commenting to Dave, oh, Dave was going to get lawyers involved if she didn't quit spreading disinformation. And the thing is Danielle has been in court before twice, where courts have held her accountable for spreading misinformation. It stemmed from a domestic violence case. Those charges were dropped. But when she ran for governor,
Against her.
again, the charges are against her. A permanent restraining order was issued against her. But she started winding around saying, oh, no, I'm the victim. The real victim was just this abusive guy who was in law enforcement, and all of his cop corrupt buddies were, I'm the victim here. And the courts, basically, not one but two courts, kept the injunction in place, saying the only way to make sure she couldn't play fast and loose with the truth was to make sure that these injunctions were there.
And they prohibited her from carrying a
And she
firearm.
can't carry a firearm still.
Bingo.
Okay.
And so to your guys's point on that, I heard all of these stories, unraveling during her gubernatorial run. I didn't put much, into that at that point because, as Republicans, we always back the actual candidate that's running for governor at, after the primary. So when we saw that Danielle Neuschwanger jumped out of the Republican race, and, well, not the Republic, not just the Republican race, she jumped out of the party to a different party. I started to kind of question a lot of things that, had happened. And of course, there are definitely articles out there and everything like that, but anybody can actually pull this lawsuit up. And the sad thing is, yes, she ended up actually, the charges were against her for actually harassment and stalking, which all ended up actually being stemmed from a domestic violence charge that was ultimately dropped. And then they ended up having this, permanent protection order in place. And my
To protect the
gosh,
husband.
not the husband, yeah, but to protect the ex.
That's
Yeah.
right.
And so not a lot of people talk about this because what Danielle does is she threatens people the moment that this comes on. And I'm very grateful for Rhino Watch for actually releasing this because of the fact that she's not going to intimidate me. People need to know who she is. And yes, at the very end of the day, because of this civil protective order, this permanent protective order that stems from like almost 15 years, she tried to get it erased. She tried to get it sealed. And the sad thing is she can no longer carry a firearm due to the Brady Act, or the Brady Law, I'm sorry, because it stemmed specifically from a domestic violence. And so, here I am. I was a little late to jumping on to you guys because I'm listening to the House right now. They are going through all of the testimony for SB 25001. That is the big bill, the assault weapon bill
The
that
gun
they're going
grab,
to
yeah.
try to, yep. And with that stated, I have been active within the, I'm truly a Second Amendment absolute. Like, you do not infringe. This is shall absolutely. That is something that I hold very dear and true to my heart is the Second Amendment. And if we end up having somebody who's elected as the vice chair who cannot carry a firearm and that has a personal protective order against them for harassing a male, a police officer, that to me shows her lack of leadership and the fact that she hasn't been transparent to this. Last year, she tried to get it silenced, tried to get it dismissed and closed. And thank
It's
goodness
called
for,
sealed. It's called
yes,
sealed.
kept
yep,
secret.
sealed, sorry. But thank goodness for these the victims for speaking up and saying, absolutely not. We want somebody, anybody can actually pull these files, these court filings, and they want to make sure that the truth is out there. So she's been lying to a lot of people.
And in the court record, I mean, you know, there was a Colorado Sun article headline saying she claimed she was the victim, right? And she did numerous interviews on George Brockler, who was saying, well, this cop needs to be looked into, right? I mean, she was clearly intentionally portraying herself as the victim and the cop as the, there was no evidence of that. And I think it just, I was a reporter for a long time, and it is highly unusual that there was no other contact between them, right? So it wasn't like she can, all of that, they went their separate ways. So it's highly unusual that the courts would leave this protective order in place. But both the original judge and then the appellate judge said that, and the victim pointed out, there was no way to prevent her from continuing to spread this misinformation you know, about herself being the victim if we don't have this open court case. And the judges agreed. And they said, and this is the kind of stuff that was harming the victim, they testified, right? This was hurting. I mean, George Brockler was saying he shouldn't be able to testify in court under that, whatever that was.
That
So,
is a pretty long.
yeah, so I think that's important to know that the court said that. But to put stuff in perspective with the Second Amendment, because I think, you know, not being able, certainly you can advocate for the Second Amendment even if you are personally prohibited from carrying a firearm. But I think that's a credibility issue. But I mean, you and I were talking. I mean, you're always out there. How many times would you estimate you have personally testified in Second Amendment issues or laws, things like that?
I within the last 6 years have been more active in that actual area. And I have personally testified either online or in person or submitted some type of testimony 87 times within 6 years. So I am actively out there in the public talking about this all the time. My last full testimony was a few days ago in regards to when SB 25003 went to the financial. But then the week prior to that, I actually ended up flying up, took a plane from Durango to Denver to testify in person. You know, that's how much my Second Amendment means to me. I work very closely. I'm not involved with the corporation or anything like that, but I work very closely with Ian Escalante from Rocky Mountain Gun Owners. And he has personally endorsed me himself as a person. And he can testify to that. You know, to me, my Second Amendment right means more than anything, and my First Amendment right as well. And when somebody is not telling the truth and spreading misinformation, people need to know that. People need to know who they're going to be voting for and if they are truly honest. And for the stalking and harassment to continue to happen to this poor family, it's unacceptable. Unacceptable as a United States citizen, but also unacceptable for a Republican.
It is, well, and I think you go back to, I mean, everybody makes mistakes, right? And this was a 2008 domestic violence incident where the charges were dropped. But I think let's take a look at the way she handled it, where she turned around and once she started running for public office, essentially twisted the facts 180 degrees and became the victim, right? And the victim is now stuck in this position of, well, wait, do I let this, you know, do I let her keep saying this? And let's look at how somebody say like Greg Lopez handled the situation, right? He had a, he came out, he was truthful, he was honest, he said, yes, we've learned from it, we've moved on. And it was a non-issue to a certain extent, right? I mean, there are, but she didn't do that. She didn't turn around and say, yes, I learned from that. Well, you know, that kind of thing and take the, I don't know, the ethical road instead. And I mean, and this is what, again, this isn't me saying this, this isn't the court saying this. She turned around and she twisted the facts to the extent that all these years later, the courts are concerned that if they don't leave this record, if this permanent injunction in place, that who knows what could happen. So I think people.
Well, and she's running in conjunction with Richard Buckwheat Holtorf. That's an interesting combo.
Yeah, and I highly doubt he's aware of any of this stuff because she has a way of smooth talking people. I mean, and that's the sad thing is I look at it, yes, we all have made mistakes in our lives. You know, to be honest about that and say, hey, you know, I own this and I move forward. I mean, that's the way of the Christian. I'm Catholic. I'm, you know, been
Right.
raised Catholic, and that's how I live my life, you know. And if she would come out and say, sure, this was a mistake. I own all of this. I'm moving forward. I would respect her a lot more.
Right.
If that was the case, but it's not the case. People have been calling her out online. People have been asking about this. It sounds like she intimidates people that are going to be questioning it. So I'm already prepared, you guys. So I already know what's coming at me, but hey, we've already, you know, the state leadership has already been through all of that, and I have no qualms about standing up for the truth. And
Right.
so, yeah.
Well, people spread.
Who would ever guess that a run for the vice chair of the Republican Party would get this exciting?
Right. Well, and it's interesting. There's been like some audio out there about, you know, is she true to this? Does she really want to run for vice chair? And I heard, you know, an audio recording from Natalie Tennant, you know, and, you know, I don't know. I don't know if this is just a sham thing that she's putting and gonna take her name out or not, or what, if this is a true run, right?
In other words, is this somebody who's kind of being a kind of playing the Democrat playbook where somebody runs as sort of a fake candidate to try to split the vote? Oh, that's something to look into there too. Well, yeah, you know, and again, I think this is just something, and thank you for commenting on it. We wanted to put that out there because I think people need to know. And again, if Danielle, here's a sad thing, really, but not sad, but if she had simply told the truth about it, right? And said again, it's
What
some.
fun would that have been?
Well, yeah, but I mean, so they wouldn't still have the permanent restraining order. They would have lifted that. She would be able to carry a gun. I mean, all of this would have gone away. All she would have had to do is say, "Yep, I made a mistake." I mean, again, you know, as always, the cover up is worse than the
Well,
crime.
tell us more about your campaign, Hope.
So the campaign is going really well. I've been making phone calls and texting people as much as possible. I'm really actually excited for the 29th. I'm getting positive feedback. A lot of people are going to be voting for me, and I'm really excited to be pushing forward what we have already accomplished. Again, I already have a plan in place on how to get the PCPs involved, how to get them and keep them engaged. That's the important part, right? Like what we've stop doing is engaging people right after the elections. We're just like, okay, we're done. Right? So I already have a plan in place for that. And I'm really looking and excited to just really get more candidates running for different seats. We already have people lined up for donations. That's really exciting, right? You know, so I think things, all in all, things are really going, and Anna and I are really excited that hopefully we'll just take it and we'll, you know, continue moving forward with all the things that the great things that Dave Williams have put forward. You know, we really want to lay that foundation, which we did, but now is game time because President Trump is only elected for 4 years, and so we really need to take advantage of that part right now.
So
All
I
right.
just want to confirm with you because Kathleen Chandler and others said otherwise that Steve Bannon isn't coming, but he's coming,
Oh, I know for a pure fact he's coming.
right?
Yes. All right. Thank
And
you.
their tickets still available.
Tickets are available. Go to COLOGOP.org. You can buy tickets. They are selling quick now that all the craziness that people are hearing about Antifa. I mean, I logged on and I think we ended up having a lot more sales today than we
Right.
did the last few days. So yeah.
Yay.
Go to ColoradoGOP.org and you guys will be able to purchase more tickets.
All right.
We already did. We
Already
already
did. So party with the
well,
cool people.
we even made hotel reservations, but we had to cancel those
Pony
once
antlers.
I
Yes.
Hope, thank you so much. Good luck out there. We love you and Anna, and thank you for all the work that you guys do.
Hey, we love you guys. Thank you so much for having me on. All
Take
right,
care,
thank you.
Hope. Bye
Hope,
bye.
bye guys.
In there. Yeah, the tickets. And I kind of hopefully people will be like, you know, hey, screw Antifa. We're not going to let them tell us who can or cannot speak at our thing. So that is going to do it for us today. I want to let people know we're going to
Do
have.
we have a video?
No, we're going to have, I know, sorry. We're going to have Lori Sain on Monday, a GOP chair candidate. Yeah, we've had everybody else
she's
on.
She's in a real battle herself.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. So that's going to do it for us, everybody. Have a great party Friday. Thanks to Hope and James.
And I hope your brackets are doing well. Rev and I have a big contest going, which I'm slightly ahead after last night's results, but we got off today and then Saturday and Sunday. So it's a fun time of the year.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. See
Take
you later.
Care.